Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody, and I want to welcome you to another edition of The Preacher and the Miracle Man Show here for this Wednesday, September the 12th of 2018. And I'm so glad that you've chosen to join this program tonight, even though we are earlier than normal. But that is because we have the Ministry of Helps conference at Living Word this week. Speaking of which, it was very good last night. We had a panel of various speakers last night from other churches, and Dr. Buckley asked them some questions. And it was really cool. It was real fun to hear everything that was said by the various ministers and by pastor. Yeah. It was really cool. Worship was great as always. It was a great night. Now, I want to let you know that Jerry Savelle is a guest speaker tomorrow night. Jerry Savelle will be there. If you can make it out there, please make it a point to go tomorrow night. It's going to be awesome having Brother Savelle there. And we do love him. Oh, yes, we do. And as usual, I am at McDonald's here at 1711 South Saginaw Road. I'm northwest of an Admiral / Marathon gas station and southeast of a Disability Network of Mid-Michigan office. We're across the road, across Saginaw Road from a Kmart store. And so that's where we are. And my hope is that more and more people will join this program, will come on board and listen. As I meet people, I tell people about the show. And I'd like to encourage you, listeners, to do the same thing. Amen. So, let me think here. So, well, I'll let you know about Sonic Drive-In. Now, this is pretty cool what Sonic is doing. They're actually opening a Sonic in Flushing, Queens, New York City. However, this Sonic won't have a drive-in like most Sonics do. Instead, it's a storefront that used to be a different place. And it will be open, though, the same hours as a normal Sonic, which is 6 in the morning to midnight. And to me, that seems really cool to have a storefront location right there on the main street. My hope is that Sonic will do a lot more of this in coming years, as I would like to see a Chicago Sonic, some Dallas and Houston Sonics like this, Atlanta, and various other places. I'm surprised they're trying this in NYC before they ever did it in a place like Atlanta or Dallas or Houston. I say Dallas or Houston because Sonic is located in Oklahoma. The headquarters is in Oklahoma. However, the biggest cities near it are Dallas and Houston, Texas. So that would be a good place for Sonic to try it. Speaking of Sonic, they have great, wonderful burgers and fries and such. Although I personally like to get tater tots when I go to Sonic as my side item. In addition to a Coca-Cola, of course, with vanilla in it. From 2 to 5 p.m. at any Sonic, is happy hour. And you can get half off of soft drinks and slushies right now. And it is a real cool thing that they do this. Even though, unfortunately, I'm basically never near a Sonic at
time.
But Sonic is another one of my favorite fast food burger chains. It's very retro. The car hops come to your car. And they roller skate to your car, which makes it really cool. So that's part of why I enjoy it so much. And the food's really good. The prices are very similar to a place like McDonald's, albeit a little bit more. But in my mind, it's worth it. That's why I keep going there when I'm in the area. My personal favorite Sonic here in Michigan is the one at 3140 Miller Road, just east of I-75 at exit 117B Miller Road. If you're coming north, you'll get off the exit, and you'll want to go right onto Miller. And then Sonic will be like the first thing you see. If you're coming south, you'll want to go over the bridge. You'll pass the ramp to North 75, and then right there you'll see a Sonic. And you can tell them that River Sister. Sonic is by far one of my favorite fast food places down there in the Flint area. Sonic's been there for 10 years, and I was super thrilled when my dad said they were getting a Sonic, because I didn't think that would ever happen, but it did. Which makes me wonder, why don't we have a Sonic? Why don't we have a Chick-fil-A? Why doesn't this town have a Cracker Barrel? Why doesn't this town have various other places I can think of, White Castle, among others, Popeyes? That's what I want to know, because I want those in this town, because we need some more fast food options, I feel like, that are not just Burger King, McDonald's, Wendy's, Taco Bell, and Subway. Well, say though, I went to Long John Silver's last night, and that is some delicious fish, I must tell you. Good. I borrowed one of Campbell's lines, but the fish is awesome. And I enjoy it whenever I get to go there. Now, the plan for tonight, we're going to look at Joshua 17 tonight, and then we are going to look at Hebrews 11, and we're going to go through the whole thing. Because the last couple of times we've read it, we haven't went through the whole Hebrews 11, and I want you to get this on the inside of you. And then we're also going to read the first two verses of Hebrews 12, as we normally do. And I'm going to exhort you for a few minutes. And then we're going to do a Football Central, which we always do now on Mondays and Wednesdays for right now. I have Midland High Football, Dow High Football, the Press Box,
Michigan?
Nothing really to say about. One of which is Lions at 49ers. I'm going to pick Patriots at the Jaguars. I'm also going to pick Panthers at Falcons. So three important
NFL games
to pick for the pick six. And that'll be out of
all central and
for the case of the Lions and Michigan, what must the Lions do to get better?
That's part of what we're going to look at tonight.
And also a Tiger score. Two of them, actually. One from last night and one from this afternoon. And so, before we get into any of this, though, what's going to happen, I'm just going to give a brief intro on how to listen to the show. So, folks, those of you who have been listening for a long time, this is nothing new. Newbies, I want you to tell other people how to be a part of the show. I really do want you to tell people how they can be a part. One of the ways they can do that is, of course, by listening online. What you can tell people is go to blogtalkradio.com. Once you get on the website, you'll see a search bar. In the search bar, you'll type in Upfront Entertainment. After you type that in, you'll see a link. The link says Live in Large. We want you to click on that link. And then you'll see a button that says, something that says Preacher, Miracle Man, Show. Click on that. And then we have a follow button that we would love you to push. We really want you to push that button, because when you push that button, you're going to get notified when we get ready to do our shows. For example, this coming Monday at 6:30, we're going to have our next show. Again, folks, if you're wondering, yes, starting Monday, we will be back on schedule, which is Monday to Wednesday at 6:30. And we generally run on Monday and Wednesday, it's generally like 6:30 to 7:55. And then Tuesdays right now, we're generally getting done closer to like 7:45. Just to give you an idea of generally how long it is, so that you know what to plan for. Okay? And so, it is a very smart thing to listen to this program on your smartphone. So, or any other smart device you may have. So we want you to do that. Also, we have a telephone number that you can call us in at. You can call into the show and we can talk about generally whatever you want to talk about. As long as it's not politics, you know. But we can pray. We can talk about faith. We can talk about football. Generally, whatever you want to talk about. And we're here for you. We do this for all you guys. That's why we do this. But the telephone number you can call in and be a part is area code 215-383-3810. Once again, that telephone number is area code 215-383-3810. Please listen for the prompts, and then when you hear the prompt that says press 1, then you'll press 1, and then my assistant Josh will let me know that we have a caller. and then I'm going to let you on the show, and you can talk and whatever you say. All righty.
Great.
And then... So it is 4:45. I just wasn't sure whether or not I was still on. Now I know that I am on, so I will continue. But for tonight, with how everything is a little different, Football Central will start at 5:25 tonight. 5:25. And generally, it would be more like 7:25, but since we're 2 hours earlier, 7:25. I mean, 5:25 tonight. So that's what we're going to be doing tonight. But anywho, I just want to. Ask all of you to keep those in your prayers, everyone that is on the coastal Carolinas and Georgia. Now they're saying that that Georgia could possibly get hit, coastal Georgia could get hit. They're saying now, so please keep those people who live near the Atlantic coast down there in your prayers as they prepare for a hurricane, as they prepare for this upcoming hurricane. And prayerfully, it'll totally miss. And it'll drift back out into the sea and then dissipate. That's what we are believing God for, is for this hurricane to just totally dissipate. All right. Now, I'm going to pray. Then we're going to open our Bible. And as I said, we're going to read Joshua 17, Hebrews 11, first two verses of 12. And we'll go from there, everybody. All right. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this word tonight. I thank you for the show, for these people who have made the choice to listen wherever they are and to be a part of this great show. I thank you, Lord God, that these people tonight while listening, will receive something of great value from you. whatever that thing may be. I just thank you that they would just be ready and prepared in their hearts to receive it. And that they will learn of you. I thank you, Lord God, that these people's, that their hearts, their minds are alert and their hearts are receptive, so that they may be taught the Word of God and be able to understand thoroughly what it says. Lord, I thank you that you use me tonight as an oracle, as I know you have placed a word in my heart for all of us, including myself. Thank you that I would say what you would have me say, Lord. And Lord, I confess over this show right now that finances would come in, that partners would come on board who want to help me do this work. I thank you that new equipment comes into this show and that increases in listenership come to the show, more listeners, great listeners, participation. And I thank you, Lord God, that more important than anything else, that people will give their lives to Jesus on this program. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And everybody said, amen. All right. Let's open our Bibles, please, to the book of Joshua chapter 17.
Amen. Now,
you got your Bible. Hopefully you have either a Bible or a device with the Bible app on it. And if you have that, please open it up. Please use it. Please be a part of this program. We're studying. You study the Bible with me. If I'm praying, you pray. If I sing and you know the lyrics, sing along. You do wherever you are tonight, so that you can get the most out of this show. The most out of what I'm doing. I think I... So, folks, so we're opening up the Bible. Like I said, we're going to Joshua 17. Joshua 17. Amen. Amen. Just turning up. I have found Joshua 17. I'm going to begin reading, and you can just begin reading. Follow along. This was the allotment of the tribe of Manasseh as Joseph's firstborn, that is, of Makeh, Manasseh's firstborn. Makeh was the ancestor of the Gileadites, who had received Gilead and Bashan because the Makehites were great soldiers. So this allotment was for the rest of the people of Manasseh, the clans of Eleazar, Bilak, Assyrians, Shechem, Hopher, and Shema. These are the other male descendants of Manasseh, son of Joseph, by their clans. Now, Zelophehad, son of Hefer, the son of Gilead, the son of Makev, the son of Manasseh, had no sons but only daughters, whose names were Mala, Noah, Hogla, Milcah, and Tirzah. They went to Eleazar the priest, Joshua son of Nun, and to the leaders, and said, "The Lord commanded Moses to give us an inheritance among our brothers." So Joshua gave them an inheritance along with the brothers of their father, according to the Lord's command. Manasseh's share consisted of 10 tracts of land besides Gilead and Bashan, east of the Jordan, because the daughters of the tribe of Manasseh received an inheritance among the sons. The land of Gilead belonged to the rest of the descendants of Manasseh. The territory of Manasseh extended from Asher to Michmashah, east of Shechem. The boundary ran southward from there to include the people living at Tapuah. The Manasseh had the land of Tapuah itself on the boundary of Manasseh belonged to the Ephraimites. Then the boundary continued south to the Mana Ravine. There were towns belonging to Ephraim lying on the towns of Manasseh. But the firstborn of Manasseh was the northern side of the ravine and ended at the sea. On the south, the land belonged to Ephraim. On the north, to Manasseh. The territory of Manasseh reached the sea and bordered Asher at the north and Issachar on the east. Within Issachar and Asher, Manasseh also had both Shan, Etham, and the people of Dor, Edor, Tanash, and Megiddo, together with their surrounding settlements. To the third in the list is Nathroth. Yet the Manasseh was not about to occupy their towns, and the Canaanites were determined to live in the region. However, when the Israelites grew stronger, they subjected the Canaanites to forced labor, but did not drive them out too completely. The people of Joseph said to Joshua, "Why have you given us only one allotment and one portion of an inheritance? We are a numerous people, and the Lord has blessed us abundantly." "If you are so numerous," Joshua answered, "and if the hill country of Ephraim is too small for you, then go up into the forest and clear land for yourselves there in the land of the Perizzites and Rephaites." The people of Joseph replied, "The hill country is not enough for us, and all of the Canaanites who live in the plain have iron chariots, and Beth Shan and its settlements, and those in the valley of Jezreel." But Joshua said to the house of Joseph, Ephraim, and Manasseh, you are numerous and very powerful. And you will have not only one allotment, but the forested hill country as well. Clear it. And its farthest limits for yourselves. Though the Canaanites have iron chariots, and even though they are strong, you can drive them out.
Hebrews 11. Hallelujah.
Just putting this away and then.
New York Bible study.
I have found my spot. I'm going to begin to read, and you can go ahead and catch on up. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for, and certain of what we do not yet see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what was seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than what Cain did. And by faith, he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, he still speaks, even though he is dead. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. For without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must first believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear he built an ark to save his family. By faith, he was commended as one who pleased. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, he obeyed and he went, even though he didn't know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city of foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, Abraham, even though he was past age, and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father, because he considered him faithful, who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, and as countless as the sand on the seashore. All of these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them, and they welcomed them from a distance. And they admitted that they were aliens and strangers on earth. And people who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. For he has prepared a city for them. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had received the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, "It is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned." Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead, and figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau in regard to their future. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, he blessed each of Joseph's sons and worshipped as he leaned on the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when his end was near, he spoke about the exodus of the Israelites from Egypt and gave instructions about his bones. By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born, because they saw that he was no ordinary child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, he refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose instead to be mistreated along with the people of God, rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. And by faith he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who was invisible. And by faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land. But when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after the people had marched around them for 7 days. By faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. And what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned into strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, and they refused to be released so that they might gain a better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging, while still others were chained and were put in prison. They were stoned. They were sawed in two. They were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains, and in caves and holes in the ground. They were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. Now let's look at the first two verses of Hebrews 12. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on the football predictions of the Miracle Man on the radio show and see how he does. It seems to me like I read it the wrong way. Let's get this right. Watch this now. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, and let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. That's what you fix your eyes on. You fix your eyes on Jesus. All right. I'll take some time to exhort about what we read. All right. So, think about what faith is for a minute. You think in your mind. What is faith? Where do I get it? How do I get it? As we read, it is a substance of things hoped for, evidence that you have not yet seen, but you're believing for. That's miracles that God paid the price for you, but manifestation has not yet occurred yet. We discovered that you, without faith, it's impossible to please God. So it's really hard to please. You can't please and serve God if you have no faith. So you got to keep the faith, even if you don't have a need. But let's face it, we all have needs. We can all use more money, for example, maybe a better job, or a miracle of some kind, regardless of what it is. We all need something. If God, it'd be nice if we didn't have these, but we always have a need. We always have a need. We do. What did I just hear hit the table? Was that my key? My key's down there. I think, like, it fell, like, underneath here. I wonder if they see it. It's down there. It's under this part down there. Now, but folks, in order to please God, you got to have faith. When you're thinking, how do I get this faith? Well, to be fair, in order to get faith, the Bible says that faith, not reading. I added in the not reading part. Can't do it at home by just opening your book, your Bible. You have to hear it by a preacher or by listening to a radio show like this. Now, listen to me. Listening to the Miracle Man show should not be a replacement for your church service. It should only be a supplement, not a replacement for. It is a very good way to increase your faith. And I don't just say that for something to say. No, I don't say it just for something to say. I say it because it's how it is. That's why I say that here on the show. And so what you need to realize, folks, is that faith comes by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. So that's how you receive faith, is by hearing the Word of God. And you got to have faith. You know, you can't doubt. You cannot doubt. And you got to tell God what you're believing for. I have this new job, for example. I have this new automobile. I have my eyesight. I have, you know, and it goes on and on and on. And on and on and on and on and on and on and on. And on and on. All right. And so this faith stuff is really important. You know, you got to have this faith and this belief in God that he will do what he said he will do in his work. To have faith is to have trust. Some of us Christians, if we were as unfaithful to our boss as some of us are to God, you would never drop. You wouldn't, because he doesn't want, the boss doesn't want people always showing up 20 minutes late to work and all that kind of stuff. So you got to put God first. Putting God first is extremely important, and you got to seek him. You need to be on time for church, not show up 20 minutes late. Church starts at 7, don't show up at 7:20 or 7:30. Show up at 7 at the extremely latest, preferably a little bit earlier. That, folks, is what you got to do, is, you know, just keep that faith up and in order to please God. And you also have to be faithful to God and obey him and do what he says to do. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to go into some sports. First, a couple Tiger scores, and then Football Central. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this evening. Thank you for these listeners, for this word tonight. Thank you. For these people that heard it, I thank you that these people will understand this word and that these people will be doers of this word and not hearers only. That we will all realize, Lord God, that we must have faith in order to please our God, please you, Lord, and that we must be faithful. And I give you praise and honor and glory tonight. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, Tigers. The streak of losing by only one run continued, as the Tigers last night lost 4-3 to the Astros, and again lost to the Astros today by a score of 5-4. Tigers had a runner on base in the bottom of the eighth inning and could have tied it by sending him home, or could have went ahead by getting a home run. But no. Instead, tagged out. Got an out. So, had to go to the ninth. Astros got tagged out. Got out. Then it was time for the Tigers to bat, and then they didn't do nothing either. So, Tigers swept by the Astros 3-0, even though they lost all three games by only one run per game. The Tigers, when they're down by just one run, need to figure out how to get the equalizer a bit more and get that winning run. Because if you have a pitcher who's doing a pretty good job, we need to increase the amount of runs we're scoring. We've got to increase it. We must. we want to do good. And so hopefully we can get some better hitters in the off season. Tigers go to Cleveland for the weekend, and then after that, they come home to play for a 7-game homestand, Monday to Sunday. And then after that, 6 road games to end the season after that. As unfortunately, it is turning out to be a lengthy rebuilding process. 4 years in a row without a postseason berth. Hopefully, 2019 can be something different. That's my hope. It really is. I'll have to see what happens, but hopefully we can get some. You're really starting to do a little bit better, only you can't be losing the last 3 games by 1 run per game. Eventually, you got to figure out how to get that equalizer and then get the go-ahead and winning to score for you. All righty. It is time for It is time for football. So First off, I take you to Midland. On Friday, Midland Dow has a home game at Midland Community Stadium against Saginaw High. Saginaw High has 1 win, 2 losses. Midland, 1 win, 2 losses. Midland Dow, 1 win, 2 losses. And don't know too much about Saginaw. If Dow can keep doing what they did last week, they should have a pretty easy win, I think. Their quarterback, Shayna Strike, has been doing a much better job at throwing the ball. He's not throwing interceptions anymore. He really had to cut down on those interceptions because, I'm sorry, but you're not going to win football games when you throw 5 interceptions in a game, and then the next game you turned around and threw 2 more. But my understanding is one of them led to a touchdown. And luckily he straightened it out last week as the Chargers led 52-12. This week, I expect the Chargers to win by a score of 35, Trojans 10. Now let's go over to Saginaw Heritage, where Midland's next game is going to be. Actually, no. Let me talk about the press box first. The press box. Our superintendent, Michael Sherrill, superintendent of Midland Schools, released a special communique, communication piece that he sends out generally weekly. This was a special one, though, about the press box. In it, here is what he said. He said, according to claims that is being shown in quotes, that it will cost, it'll almost cost more to repair the stadium in its current state and not bring it up to fire code as far as having the elevators compared to what it would cost to tear it down, rebuild it with a nice new facility that is fire code compliant. Therefore, it very much looks like they will tear it down, put up a portable shelter for the rest of the season, and then from there, they'll probably rebuild the stadium starting next spring to be done in time for next football season. In addition, fans going to the Dow game on Friday night should realize that the Midland Public Schools will be opening the home side of the bleachers, with the exception of between the 30-yard lines. So you can't sit near midfield, basically. So end zone to 30, and then 30 back to the other end zone. You'll be able to sit, but not near midfield, as that is going to be shut off for safety reasons. Once the press box is torn down, a temporary shelter will be put up basically in the same spot the press box is. And it'll house the media and what have you. A permit has been, they have filed a permit. The permit process takes about 10 days. Once the permit is accepted, there should be a local contractor that will tear down the press box. Once that's done, the whole home side of the stadium will be opened for visitors, for fans. So that'll be good. In addition to the press box rebuild, within the next few years, the home bleachers will be replaced with new bleachers as the concrete is damaged. The turf will be replaced as it has outlived its 10-year life expectancy. And the sound system will be replaced. The track will be resurfaced, and possibly new concession and bathroom amenities. So keep an eye out for that in the next few years. This will mainly be financed by bonds, but the new press box will be financed partially through, I'm sure, some donations, partly through the insurance, and then partly through general fund. So that is the latest news on the press box, Middle Green Stadium press box. Now, I take you to Saginaw Heritage, where the Comets will be taking on the Hawks on Friday night. Coach Mettner and the Comets, along with the new starting quarterback, Al Money, have big momentum now after they beat the Warriors and really came alive in that second half in order to win 35-11. I expect the Comets to, with that same momentum, as they look to continue to improve. Because let's face it, the Comets, even though they have somewhat easy schedule for right now, for right this second, they go to Heritage and then they go to Saginaw High. But then after that, they got to face Mount Pleasant at home. Then they got Bay City on the road, but Bay City's not doing so much. Bay City Central not doing so much. Then Bay City John Glenn, which it seems to me could pose some challenge, a little bit of a challenge. But then you got Dow. So they'll want to keep improving. And Mount Pleasant seems to be pretty serious. They're undefeated right now, so that'll be their next huge test. Will be Mount Pleasant at Midland Stadium on Friday, September 28th, homecoming. But this week, Midland High at Saginaw Heritage. We really stepped it up in the second half, so I expect the Chemics to be playing with that same intensity. I think Midland is going to come out with another win. I think Midland will win 30-18, Midland over Saginaw Heritage in Saginaw. Now, go to some college football. Michigan State has a bye week. So, Michigan takes on Southern Methodist University on Saturday at 3:30. You'll be able to hear this game on AM 790 WSGW. Michigan looks to continue what they did last week. If they can do that, they should be able to continue improving. I do expect Michigan to beat SMU. I would say Michigan 34, Southern Methodist 14. Now, a triple header of NFL games to talk about. Since Michigan State has a bye week, I still call it pick six, you know, because of pick six games. So we have three NFL games to talk about tonight, three of them. Number one, you have, and for those of you who think I'm going to talk about the Lions first, no, the reason for that being that the Lions play later on Sunday. So, game one, you have Panthers at Falcons. In a game that could quite possibly determine the fate of the NFC South. You have the Panthers that were victorious against the Cowboys on Sunday. Even though they only won by like 8 points, the Cowboys didn't look so great. You have the Falcons, who had the lead a couple different times, but Julio did not make that pass at the end of the game that would have put him up ahead. So you have two NFL teams in the NFC South going at it against each other that both have areas that can improve. Falcons played good defense, but for the most part, you should realize that Julio is going to have to step it up a bit on the receiving end. And also, Falcons need to run the ball a bit and not just throw it all the time. Panthers, I think they could stand to run some more myself and maybe throw it to some other receivers. Cam Newton should be doing. What do I think? This could go either way, but I will not be biased, but I will pick the Falcons to win by a score of 26-22. Falcons over Panthers in Atlanta. Now, in a very important AFC game on Sunday at 1 o'clock, I mean at 4:25. Obviously, I'm sure it was placed at this time partially because of its importance. You have a rematch of the AFC Championship game from this past season. Only this time it's in Jacksonville. You have Patriots at Jaguars. They got some good offensive weapons in Jacksonville. They also have some great defensive weapons. The question is four words. No, five words. Can the Jaguars stop Brady? Can they stop him? Can they defend him? Can they outbeat him and throw more touchdowns than him? Can they do it? The Jags did a good job last week in their win. Last year, however, the Jaguars versus the Patriots, they played good football for like 45, 50 minutes. But they kind of simmered down and let New England have it, and New England won the football game. Do I think that Tampa, that Jacksonville has it to beat the Patriots? I think they have the talent, but I still think New England is going to find a way to win the ball game. I think it's going to be a 3-point difference. Go ahead and give me the Patriots over the Jaguars 31-28. Patriots over Jaguars. Now we have the San Francisco 49ers, 49ers, but really it's the 49ers a lot of times, I feel like, especially with the field stuff and the anthem stuff. Not going to get into all that. We need to talk. The Lions looked absolutely terrible. They were terrible on Monday. The offense couldn't do much. The defense, well, they got a pick six, but other than that, they didn't do so much. They didn't get the quarterback, Sam Arnold of the Jets. They didn't do so well at all. But then you have the 49ers who lost only by 8 points, but at the same time, the 49ers quarterback didn't look so good. So you do have Matt Patricia admitting that they must do a lot better. So I'm going to hold them to it. I expect improvements out of the Lions this week. Even though the Lions have to go out west to play the 49ers. They got to go out west, and they got to play a little bit. They got to play, you know, three time zones earlier. So even though they'll be playing at like 1:05 Western time, Pacific time, it'll be 4:05 here. So there could be some jet-lag thing. And West Coast teams coming here to play at 1 o'clock don't always do so well. Same time, sometimes East Coast teams going over there to play at 4 because of the jet lag doesn't always help either. I realize that I'm kind of taking a risk either way I go. I think the Lions are going to redeem themselves and get a win to make Matt Patricia proud. I expect a win from them. Give me the Lions over the 49ers 27-23. So, for football for this weekend, I have Midland Dow over Saginaw. I have Midland over Saginaw Heritage. Michigan over SMU. In addition, for the NFL, I have Lions over the 49ers. Falcons over Panthers, And I have Patriots over the Jags. Last week I went 3 of 6. However, that included last week I went 3 of 6, even though, unfortunately, that included a very sour start to the NFL season in which I got both games wrong. I was undefeated at high school, but with college, 1 of 2. Hopefully, I can do a lot better this weekend, especially in terms of NFL. We'll see. I'll let you know how it went on Monday when we come back. For now, though, I confess Psalm 91 over us in the name of Jesus. I say that no plague will come near us or our immediate loved ones or in our dwelling. I pray, Lord God, that in the name of Jesus, that hurricane is going to go right out to sea and then it's going to dissipate. It's not going to do all that damage on the coast of North Carolina, South Carolina, Maryland, Virginia, or Georgia. Just going to go out there to sea and stay out there and dissipate. And those other storms too, Isaac, along with this next one after it, they're just going to weaken in the name of Jesus. They're just going to all weaken and lose strength, everything. You've calmed the waters before, Jesus, and I know you're going to do it again. And I pray right now, Lord, that we're going to live in great peace and great joy, and we're going to be a powerful witness for you, Lord, until I see you folks again, which will be on Monday night. So, until Monday night, folks, God first, God always. Thank you so much, folks, for being understanding this week. Please go to the conference tomorrow night to hear Jerry Savelle, as well as tonight, Friday, even tomorrow, to hear about the Ministry of Health as we are going to finish up this conference strong. And until Monday, God first, God always. So long, everybody.